radio program this afternoon at 12:30 on Gaffney, WAGI-FM. Tune it in if you can while you're getting dinner ready or maybe in your car. It's 105 on the FM dial. Gaffney. And then pray for the services also tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 5, begin reading with verse 1. Before I read this first verse of Scripture, I'm going to be speaking to you this morning on the subject, the conflict of the ages. The conflict of the ages. Now that sounds like one of these new movies they've come out with, like Star Wars or something, but really it's not. I'm talking about the true conflict that's going on in the world this morning, and has been going on ever since way back before even Adam and Eve were created. There's been a great conflict going on around planet Earth. I don't know why the Lord chose little planet Earth out of all them millions of planets to allow this to happen, but he did. And we're going to be talking about the conflict of the ages, of which this story that I'm going to read to you is a type. And so let's read 1 Samuel chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now you'll remember, just before we read that next verse, in reading the Word of God, that the Philistines were always the enemies of the children of God. When I tell my little girl Bible stories, when I saw come up on the Philistine, I say, that's the devil's people. When I come up on the Israelites, I say, that's God's people. And so she can learn the difference between what the way they were in the Old Testament. The Philistines always represented the children of the devil, and the children of Israel always represented the children of God. Now Dagon, that they brought this the ark of God into the house of Dagon here, was the god that the Philistines worshiped, the false god. And this false god was a half man and half fish. And these people in the Philistines worshiped this god. That was where the old mermaid stuff got started, you see. That way back then, they had a half of a man and then half fish. And they were spending this great temple called the house of Dagon. And so let's read what happened in verse number 3. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose on the early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms and of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore neither the priest of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house. I won't say Dagon, but it ain't Dagon, it's Dagon. In his house. But the hand of the Lord, or neither in his house, tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. Verse 6. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. Emerods is sores and swellings. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. Keep this scripture in mind this morning. Keep your Bibles open. We'll talk for a little while on the conflict of the ages. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for health and strength, the blessings of life. We thank you, our Father, that you loved us, washed us from our sins, and your own precious blood. We're glad to be a part of the family of God this morning. Lord, we realize and know there is a great conflict going on in this world. And Lord, we're so glad to be on the winning side. We thank you, our Father, for this church that you've given us to worship in. And I pray, dear Lord, the Holy Spirit may come and illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, that we might be able to declare Thy Word today without fear, favor, or partiality. And then I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will take these words, bring conviction upon the hearts of these that are here, and do what needs to be done. Save that one which is lost. Reclaim that one which may be drifting away. We'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you notice this story in the Word of God by way of background, you remember this story, the chapter before this, was when the Ark of God was captured. You remember that the Ark of God signified the presence of God in the tabernacle. When the priests went into the tabernacle and they would go into the Holy of Holies, the Ark of God was sitting in there. It was the most holy and the most sacred thing in all of the land. Now, when the Israel kind of backslid on God and the Philistines were overcoming them, and Eli was the priest at this time. Eli had two sons. And the Bible says that when the Ark of God was captured, Eli's two sons were killed. And somebody come running in one day and told Eli that the Ark of God had been captured and his two sons was dead. Eli was 98 years old when that happened. He was old. He fell off his chair backward and broke his neck, and it killed him. And then the Bible said that they carried the Ark of God to safety or captive in the land of the Philistine. And they took the Ark of God, the holy thing of God, and brought it into the temple of their idol worship. Now, in this temple of idol worship, the Philistines worship the false god Dagon, half man, half fish. And they would bend down and they would pray to him. And they would do obeisance to him. And they would bow before this false god. Now the Bible tells us a couple of things about this false god and those that mess around with idols and worshiping false god. There are many people today in the world still worshiping idols that are made with men's hands. But the Bible said over in the book of Psalm 115 and verse 6, and also in Psalm 135, it tells us about false gods, you know, that people make with their eye, with their hands. It said they have eyes, but they can't see. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have feet, but they can't walk. And it said, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. In other words, it's saying that if a man makes a dumb idol and bows down to worship it, that the man that worships it is just as dumb as the idol that he makes. Amen. It said, they that make them are like unto them. And so Dagon, the Bible says, represents the kingdom of Satan. And the Ark of God in this story will represent the kingdom of God. And these two will represent a battle. When they brought the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon and set it right before old Dagon, that represented two conflicting powers. That represented a war that was going on. That represented a war between God's people and the devils. And brother, you know what happened? The next day they came in and Dagon was laying on his face before the Ark of God. And you know what they had to do to their God? The Bible said they had to pick him up. Pick him up and set him in his place. Ain't that something, God? Had to pick him up and set him in his place. Brother, I tell you what. I've lived my life and I've been down and out. I want to tell you something this morning, folks. I don't want a God that I have to pick up and set him in his place. I want one, brother, that can pick me up and set me in my place. I want one that's able to lift me up above the shadows and plant my feet on higher ground. I don't want a God I have to pick him up. Well, my God fell over. I got to go up and pick him back and put him on his throne. My soul, who in the world wants a God like that? I want a God that's able to lift me up. I want a God that's able to hold me up. And many times he has. But that was the type of God that old Dagon was. He wasn't much. Did you know there's a war been going on in history? And this story in the Bible this morning is just a type. The next day they came in and Dagon was laying in front of the Ark of God and his head was cut off and his hands was cut off and there wasn't nothing left but a little stump. of Dagon. And then they got the message, and they said, we don't want the Ark of God in here. Get it out of here. We don't want this thing around us. Get this thing back to where it come from. And so the war went on. Now what I'd like to do this morning is use that as a base for the thought of the message this morning, and speak to you on the great conflict. There is a conflict going on in this world this morning. All you young people here this morning, you've grew up in an age, and most of you young people here this morning have never been to battle, never fought in a war, and never, we've had peace here in the United States as far as conflicting with other countries are concerned, since most of you have been living. And brother, you've come up to the place in the world where you see, well, over here is this, and over here is that, and everybody just having a good time and living it up and having life just a fun and games. But what you need to realize this morning is that this world is not a playground, but it is a battleground. There is a battle being fought this morning on planet Earth. And brother, this battle is raging very, very strong. Now they tell us that of the 4,000 years of recorded history, that there's been under only 268 years of recorded peace. In 4,000 years of history, 268 years of recorded peace where there wasn't one country fighting another. Now, there's always one country fighting another. There's always wars and battles going on in this world. But these wars and battles, the Vietnam War, World War I, World War II, and the Civil War, Vietnam War, and the other wars are simply a little outward expression or overflow or a little portion of the great war that's being fought. Amen. The great war that I'm talking about this morning is a never-ending, never-dying conflict between good and evil, between righteousness and unrighteousness, between sin and holiness. There is a battle going on in this world for sin and righteousness. Like this week, we saw some being taken from the side of sin and being placed on the side of righteousness. And there is a battle. If you don't believe there's a battle going on, you talk to some of these young Christians here. There's a battle going on in this world. It's between good and evil. I want to say a few things about that conflict of the battle this morning. First of all, I want to say this. There are two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms fighting this battle. Anytime you have a battle fought, then there's two kingdoms got to be fighting. There's two kingdoms fighting this battle. One of them is of this world. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 26, if Satan cast out Satan, how shall his kingdom stand? There's one kingdom, the kingdom of Satan. And then there's another kingdom that the Word of God tells us about, and it's in John 18, verse 36. Flip over there just a minute, if you would. I'll read this verse to you. In the book of John, chapter 18, one of them is of this world. That's the devil's kingdom. The other is not of this world, as of now anyway. And in John chapter 18, the Word of God tells us this. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate said unto him, art thou a king? Listen, folks. You believe Jesus Christ is a king? You believe he is a king? Listen what Pilate said. Art thou a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is the truth heareth my voice. Then look above that in verse 36, where Jesus said, my kingdom, there's the other kingdom, is not of this world. There's the other kingdom. Hold your place right there just a second. The first kingdom is of this world. The other kingdom is not of this world as of now. But notice the rest of the verse. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Now that's a post-millennialist and all-millennialist favorite verses where they don't believe in the millennial reign of Christ, where He'll set up His kingdom on this earth. But Jesus didn't say it is always going to be this way. You know what Jesus said in the bottom of the verse? He said, if my kingdom were this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. He said, as of right now, our headquarters is in heaven. There is coming a day when His kingdom will be here on this earth. Now that explains why it seemed like the devil's winning. That's why it looks like the devil's winning. We're on his home floor. We're on the devil's home field. And brother, to look around you this morning, you would think that the enemy of all righteousness is surely winning this war. And because his kingdom is of this world, and the Lord's is not of this world. I want you to notice there are two kingdoms. I want you to notice they both have a leader. Both of them have a leader. Christ is the leader of one of them. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, the Lord told them, He said, one of these days, the king's going to say to them on the right hand, come ye blessed, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So Jesus is the head of one kingdom. The devil is the head of the other kingdom, where He said a minute ago about Satan's kingdom. There are two kingdoms fighting it out in this world. Both of them have a leader. Satan is the head of one. Jesus is the head of the other. They're both fighting a battle. That's what the Bible meant in 2 Corinthians 4:4 when it said the God of this world. That's what it meant in Ephesians 2:2 when it said the prince of the power of the air. But not only are there two kingdoms, and not only are there two leaders, both of these kingdoms have kings. Now if a king's going to be a king, he's got to have a kingdom. And for it to be a kingdom, there's got to be people in it. And so you realize that they both have armies. Both of these kings have armies that fight for them. The devil has his armies. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 10, where the apostle Paul told that old sorcerer, he said, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. He was saying right there, he said, sir, you are one of the devil's soldiers. You fight for the devil. I want to say to you this morning that, brother, God's children in God's family are God's army. When you get saved, God places you in His army. You're a soldier and you go forth into battle. Now listen, we don't fight with our hands. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. That's the hard thing about this battle that we're in. We can't see our enemy. And that's what makes it so hard. But I want to say to you this morning, friends, there is a battle going on. Jesus is ahead of one kingdom. Satan is ahead of the other kingdom. And brother, they both have armies that follow them. Now, what's bringing me to the point of this message? Everybody in this church belongs to one of those two armies. Now, every person sitting on these seats this morning, you are enrolled in one of the two armies. You are enrolled in the devil's army, in his kingdom, being one of the devil's soldiers, or else you are one of God's soldiers in God's army. Now, I know what some of you are sitting there thinking. Well, I tell you, preacher, I don't ever do that much bad. I couldn't really say I don't fight for God or I don't fight for the devil, either one. I just kind of stay back and stay out of it. Impossible. Nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it give a third party. Nowhere does it say there's an intermediate state of limbo to where you don't go for either side. Jesus said, he that is not with us is against us. Brother, you're either fighting for Jesus or you're fighting for the devil. Your life is an influence for God or it's influence for the devil. Your life is building up the kingdom of God or it's building up the kingdom of the devil. Everybody is on one of those two kingdoms this morning. Everybody in this church is fighting for one of those two kings. You say, not me. Oh, yes, you are too. Like it or not, you're on one of those two sides. Now, how do we know? I want to say tonight, or this morning, who's going to win this war? Now, if me and Brother Gene, these other brothers up here, if we is going to rumble with some guys this Saturday night from Morganton, And they said, come on, Brother Danny, we're going to go fight a bunch down there and we're going to have it out with them. And if they talked me into it, I'd say, well, now listen, boys. How much of a chance do we have on winning? If we ain't going to win, I ain't going to fight. I ain't going to go down there and get my head beat in. Now, if we can beat them, I'll go. But if we don't, I'll just hang around if it's all right with y'all. Now, see, it makes good sense to want to fight for the kingdom that you know is going to win. Now, if I could tell you this morning and prove to you who's going to win this big conflict going on planet Earth, then that should settle a question in your mind once and for all who you want to fight for. Now, if you know who's going to win, then you ought to say, boy, if they're going to win in the end, I want to get over here on their side, right? I mean, if the devil's going to win, let's all get with him and join him. Amen? And if God's going to win, let's all get with him and join him. Because the losers will be losers for all eternity. I want to say a few things this morning. How do we know who's going to win? We already know who's going to win this battle. We already know what the outcome will be. I want to say, first of all, we know who's going to win by prophecy. Brother, the Bible said we have a more sure word of prophecy. In Isaiah 46 and verse 10, the Bible says that God knows the end from the beginning. And He declares things that hadn't even happened yet. All we got to do is turn to the Bible and we find out by studying prophecy who will win in this war. Open your Bible to the book of Daniel for a moment. If I want to read you a few verses of Scripture. In the book of Daniel chapter number 2. In Daniel chapter number 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And brother, he had such a bad dream that his sleep went away from him. And he was worried and scared and he couldn't sleep the rest of the night. And he had this dream and he called on all his men to interpret it and they couldn't interpret it. And he brought in Daniel and he finally interpreted it. Now listen, in verse 36 of Daniel chapter 2, he said, this is the dream and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. This dream had to do with prophecy and who will win the conflict of the ages. First of all, he told the king his dream. Here was the king's dream. The king went to bed one night and he dreamed that he saw a great image. On this image, his head was made of gold. His breast and his arms were made of silver. His belly and his thighs were made of brass. His legs of iron and his feet were part iron and part clay. And while that great image was standing there, there was a stone cut out of the mountain over here. And he said, that stone cut out without hands, come over here and smash that idol or form or figure. And he said, it hit it on the feet and the whole thing just crumbled and fell down to powder. And the king couldn't figure out what that meant. And Daniel said, here's what it means, king. Here's what your dream means. He said, you and your kingdom are this head of gold. This head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar, represents you and the Babylonian Empire. He said, you move on down to the breast and arms of silver. And he said, that represents the kingdom that's going to come up right after you're gone. And that is the kingdom of Media Persia. And then he said, after that, you move on down to the belly and the thighs of brass. And he said, that represents the next kingdom that'll be on this earth. And that'll be the kingdom of Greece, the third world kingdom. And then he said, after that, you move on down to the legs, the feet, the toes. And he said, that'll represent the fourth kingdom after you, the kingdom of Rome and the Roman Empire. And he said, in the days of these kings, he said, in verse number 44, he said, the days of these kings, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom. God's kingdom, you see. He said, in the days of these kings, God's going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. There's prophecy saying who's going to win. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I want to say to you this morning, that stone cut out without hands represents the stone kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day the devil's going to have all his kingdoms battle together and trying to rule this world. But about that time, the stone kingdom's going to come and smash the kingdoms of this world. And the Lord will set up his kingdom and they'll rule forever and forever. We know who's going to win this thing, friend. Brother, you say, how do we know? Because not one jot or one tittle will pass away till everything I've read in Daniel chapter 2 will be fulfilled. You see, the Lord's kingdom is going to smash every kingdom in this world. And we know that because of prophecy. Let me give you a couple other verses of prophecy. You don't have to turn to them. In Matthew 13:30, the Lord said, the day is coming when they'll gather the tares and burn them. And the tares are the kingdom of the devil and the children of the devil. Bible said in Philippians 2:10, every knee's going to bow, every tongue going to confess. Bible said in Psalm 37:12-13, the wicked plotteth against the righteous and seeketh to destroy him. But God shall laugh at him because he sees that his day is coming. I want to say, brother, it may look bad this morning, and it may look like the Lord's kingdom is going down, and it may look like the devil's just about taking the victory. But I'm here to say by prophecy this morning, by a sure word of prophecy that never has failed, God's kingdom's going to win this conflict in the ages. He'll come out on top. Bible said in Revelation 20:10, the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire. How about that? The kingdom of your side, if you're working for the devil, is one day is going to be cast in the lake of fire. You know where the soldiers wind up? You know where the armies wind up? They wind up where their king winds up. If a devil's going to be thrown in the lake of fire and you're one of his followers, you're going to be right behind him. Now, your best thing you can do this morning is quit serving the devil and start serving God. Because your leader is headed for a lake of fire. You imagine what if we just opened up this church this morning and out there was just a big old lake burning with fire and brimstone. Just old liquid, bubbly, hot, burning fire. And brother, here was your leader. And he was saying, come on, come on armies, we're going to win. And he was marching, marching. And he's saying, come on, smoke pot. Come on, drink beer. Come on, shack up. Come on, follow me. Live like I want you to live. And he's a marching, 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 marching. Now what you're going to have to do is get your eyes open and say, where is he taking me? And you look right on out there a little bit and see that lake of fire. And that's where he's headed. And if you follow him, you're going to wind up right on the same in the same lake of fire he is. Now what happens this morning if you say, hey man, I don't want to go to the lake of fire. Y'all are going the wrong way. I'm checking out. These other soldiers say, oh, you're silly. You're a sissy. Come on, stay with us. We'll be all right. Don't believe that other side. And God's children over here on the other side are saying, no, no, don't go that way. Don't follow the devil. But you've got to make up your mind who you're going to follow. I'm just here to warn you this morning. If you follow the devil, you'll wind up where he winds up. He's going to the lake of fire, and that's where you'll wind up one day. We know who's going to win this war by prophecy. I'll tell you another way we know who's going to win it. We know who's going to win by strength. Strongest man will win the fight. Just like arm wrestling, you know. Big old strong guy up here, little bitty puny weakling over here on the other side. I'd put my money on the big man, wouldn't you? We know who's going to win the battle. Because of strength. Now the way you find out who's going to win the battle, Jesus or the devil, is figure out which one's the strongest. Now, we can find out from the Bible very easily. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, he's talking to some Christians that have Jesus in their heart. And he tells them, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. He said, Jesus is greater than Satan. You know what I heard some old Satanist priest said one time? You know, they have churches nowadays and all over the place where they call them the Church of Satan. Started by old LaVey, character out there in California, Anton LaVey, and he's the high priest of Satan. And just really not too far from here, 25 miles from here, I reckon, there's groups that meet and worship the devil. I mean, just like me and you meet in here, and we got the lights on, and everything's bright and out in the open. They meet in the dark on a late Saturday night with the lights off and worship the power of darkness. We're worshiping the God of light. They're worshiping the God of darkness. And brother, they're following him, and he's their master, and they're his soldiers. And you know what old one of these Satanist high priests said? He said, really, witchcraft and the occult has been around years and years and years before Christianity ever started, and therefore is more powerful and has more influence. You know what he was saying? He was saying that Satan is stronger than Jesus Christ. But the Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let me tell you what our Savior said, and he can't lie. That's one thing we don't have to worry about our captain lying to us. Brother, I tell you, you may be lied to. You may be lied to. And you may be lied to boyfriend or your husband or wife. But Jesus will never tell you a lie. He told his disciples, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. I'm glad that he does. And here's what he said in Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me. Now the Lord that cannot lie said, all power is given unto me. You know what that means? If he's got all power, then there ain't nobody else got no more power than he does if he's got it all. Nobody can have more power than he's got if he's got it all. And he does. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Not only that, but in Revelation 19:6, the Bible said the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know what omnipotent means, brother? All powerful. All powerful. You say, well, Brother Danny, has there ever been a time when just these two met head to head and these two leaders, I'd like to see Jesus and the devil just get into it, wouldn't you? Just have a good fight and we'd see who win because of their strength. I'm glad to report to you this morning, friend, there was a time like that. There was a time in our Lord's ministry, right after he began his ministry, that the Bible said that the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And he was out yonder, way out away from family and friends and loved ones, way out there in the desert. And he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. You can imagine how hungry and how weak your body would be. How weak you would be not eating a bite for 40 days, not drinking any water for 40 days and 40 nights. And after the 40 days and 40 nights, here come the devil. This was a time in history that these two leaders met head to head. They met, brother, in the ring. Nobody else around but them. Everybody backed off. The angels, the demons, everybody backed off to watch this great conflict. This was a time that Satan, the leader of his kingdom, and Jesus, the leader of his kingdom, met eyeball to eyeball. Brother, they went out there and brother, somebody rung the bell. Ding! And they came out. Here come the devil up. And the first thing he said to the Lord was, he knew he was hungry. And the first thing he said to the Lord was, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. And Jesus was weak. And his body was weak. He had a human body just like mine and yours. He was hungry. But he reached back and pulled out his sword. The two kings are beginning to fight now. He reached out and pulled out his sword. And he reared it back like this and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Ah! Right in the devil's gut. Amen.
The devil worked around over here and he moved around a few minutes and he got his strength back up and he started coming at him again. Now I want to say something right here. The devil told Jesus to make those stones into bread. Now as far as the Bible's concerned, there wouldn't have been a thing in the world wrong if Jesus wouldn't turn them stones into bread and made him an apple pie or whatever he'd have wanted to make. But you know why he didn't do it? Because the devil told him to. You see, it's wrong to do something good if it's the devil telling you to do it. Amen. And brother, the devil said do it, and because of that, Jesus wouldn't do it. He'd come back at him again. He said, I'll get you this time. And he'd come back at him again, and he said, now, he used that scripture on me, and boy, that hurt. I'm going to use it on him. And he tried to pull out the sword and use it a little bit. And he took his sword and he said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down off this mountain. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And they'll catch you so you won't dash your brains out down there on them rocks. If you're the Son of God, let's see you jump off of this cliff. Come on, big boy. And the Lord was weak. And the Lord was tired. But he pulled out that sword again. And he pulled it out and he reared back with it. And he said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Right in the gut again. And the devil around him about being over double. And he came back at him a few minutes later with one last try to try to defeat. This is the two leaders of the kingdom fighting. And brother, the Bible said that he came to him and he said, all the kingdoms of this world I'll give you if you'll just bow down and worship me. And brother, Jesus reached back and he pulled that old sword back one more time. He got him a big breath and he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. Ram! Right in the gut. And brother, you know what the devil done then? He tucked his tail between his legs and went running off into the desert, squalling like a little puppy. Just like that. And brother, he run him off. The Bible said, then the devil leaveth him. And the Lord's standing there with old blood on his sword. Or the devil had took off. I know who's going to win this fight. He done whipped him. He knocked him out in the third round, brother. I mean, the devil had knocked out every other man that had ever been in the ring with him. He put a woman in front of David and David committed adultery and the devil knocked him out. He put Samson's head in the lap of a woman and she cut his hair off and lost his strength and he knocked Samson out. Strong men. But I tell you this day, brother, he got in the ring with one and knocked him out.
Amen.
Just three punches. Bam, bam, bam. He's gone. Brother, we know who's going to win this war because of strength. Not only that this morning, another way we know who's going to win this conflict, we know who's going to win by example, by the way things happen, by reading God's Word and seeing examples of it. In the, you know, like old Dagon here, for example. Dagon fell before his face for the ark of the Lord. That is an example showing you that the devil's kingdom will someday fall before God's kingdom. Sometimes when it seems like the devil is won, God steps in and gives the victory. You see, most people's problem is they look at the battle and they just say, my soul, from the way things look, it ain't looking too good for God's people. There's been people through the ages stand up and say, in 100 years, 150 years, there won't even be no organized church. This thing will be extinct. And what they're doing, they're judging by what they see. But the thing you got to remember about God is sometimes he makes it look like the devil's got it just before he steps in and wins. It's just like your dog, you know. He wants to run out in the road and you got him on a leash and you let him just run as long as he wants to. He thinks, I'm going out in the road. And right when he gets rid of the road, you just jerk him back and hang him. Sometimes God lets the devil think he's going to win. But about the time he takes over, God will stop. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of science these days, and they come out in Time, Look, Life magazine. They say, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have a worldwide holocaust. That's going to, mankind will eventually destroy himself. Won't happen. It may look like that, and if God didn't intervene, no doubt that would happen. But we done know that God's going to intervene before that happens. The devil won't destroy the whole human race. There are going to be people living here when Jesus comes back and when Jesus sets up His kingdom. Brother, I'm here to say to you this morning, by example we know who's going to win. I like old Joseph. His brothers put Joseph in the pit. And I mean, it looked like Joseph's normal days of life were over. Joseph's laying down there and saying, I don't know what will ever become of me. And his hope was nearly gone that he'd ever lead a normal life. God worked it out to where his brothers someday come down, they'll bow down to him, wanting corn, wanting something to eat. And the Lord won in the end. I remember one time we was going over here. I was going over to Swannanoa to preach at the juvenile center. And some of us boys were supposed to meet, and we was going to take guitars and everything. We was going to sing, and I was going to preach. And something happened that I got delayed before I left the house. We were supposed to meet a certain one up here. I think in Ingles parking lot. We got up there and it was late and we had to go here and hunt somebody. And it just seemed like everything in the world was happening to try to stop us. And I just got so tore up I couldn't stand. I thought, oh my goodness. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't preach. I can't preach in this shape. I was all worried and tore up and we was running late. Didn't even know where the place was. And I had to find it. And it was already about a half an hour late. And the devil says, see, you ain't going, nothing ain't going to happen. You, what are you doing trying to go? Y'all just might as well stay at home. And they said, we ought to just even not even go. And I said, no, let's go. Let's go on. And so we went on over there and we found the place. And the whole time the devil was telling me there ain't no way. There ain't no use. It can't work out. Can't work out. It's too late now. You don't even know where the place is. We finally got over there and we found the building. We come running in there that night. We had our guitars and Bibles. And we come running in the front door that's already sitting in there. The place was full. It wasn't as big as this church, but I guess maybe half as many people as there is in here. All young people, 15, 16, 17 years old, 12, 13, 14. And brother, we got in there and there's already singing. And it was already time for me to preach. And the guy, when we got up there, he said, you just go right ahead and turn it over to us. We got up there and we sung a few songs. I preached a message. God's Spirit come down on that place. Brother, it got a hold of them kids and they all started crying and bawling. And this coming out of the hall, just a bawling, just uncontrollable, weeping. And I don't know how many, I guess 50 nearly got saved or rededicated their life that night. And we just had a time, brother. I mean, glory came down. It was wonderful. And finally, they started saying, kids, we're 45 minutes past time. They're supposed to have been out by 9 o'clock. We'd done come in and got the victory and we'd gone to Hardee's or somewhere before we really knew what happened. Because what really happened was, they don't allow in the juvenile center, it's against the rules for you to give a standing formal invitation. They don't allow it. And they said they never allow a preacher to do that. And if we'd have got there on time, they'd have set me down over there and told me all of that and I'd have just preached them a nice little sermonette and we'd have left. But God delayed us and made it look like the devil was getting a victory. And brother, we didn't realize it, but what seemed like the devil a winning was nothing more than God just working it out.
Amen.
And I done went in there and give an invitation and they'd all got saved and we was out shouting the victory and come to find out we wasn't even supposed to have done none of that. I noticed those counselors just looked like it was about to blow up. Well, the Lord, that shows what God can do. I mean, we went on our way rejoicing that God was able to win in the end. Some days when it seemed like you're going to have a terrible day and nothing goes wrong all day long. You get up with a headache, wash machine hose bust, water runs out all over the floor, kid comes home and gets hurt. Out and it seemed like nothing goes wrong all day long. You know what the devil will say to you? This day's ruined. Don't go to church tonight. That's the worst mistake you could possibly make. Because
right.
It's on those days like that. If you'll go ahead and come to church, God will bless you. And a lot of times it will turn out to be the greatest time you've ever had at church. When it seemed like the devil's won. When it seemed like the battle is his. When it seemed like there ain't no way God could come through, that's when He always does. That's showing His power. Like Jesus on the cross. The devil thought he had Him for third day he rose from the dead. Like old John the Baptist. Brother, I remember reading about old John, don't you? You know what the Bible said about John the Baptist? The Bible said that they took him in there, and this old wicked queen, old adulterous, ungodly woman that was living in sin with her brother-in-law, the king. She said, I want to tell you something. That guy gets on my nerves. I can't stand that preacher. He told me I was living in adultery. And he said, what do you want me to do about it? She said, we'll get him. And one day Herod's birthday come, and her little wicked daughter come in and danced in front of Herod. Say, was it wrong to dance? Well, there's one preacher that it caused to lose his head. That should answer your question. She come in and put on a little wicked dance in front of the king. And he lusted at that young girl and said, anything you want, I'll give it to you. That's blind. His lust blinded him, you see. And brother, she said, Mama, what do you want me to ask? Mama, what do you want me to ask? And her mama, who wasn't fit to give nobody no advice, said, Kid, you go tell him that I want John the Baptist's head on a charger, on a platter. So she went back and she said, I want preacher John the Baptist's head on a platter. And the king was sorry, but nevertheless, for his oath's sake and them that sat around him, he said, all right. And he sent a servant to go get his head, and John was down there in prison. Boy, does that ever seem like the devil's won the battle. Brother old John was down there. It seemed like all was lost for him. And he come down there and he said, John, I'm going to take your head off today and give it to the king in a platter. He said, I know it. And he said, lay it down right there. And they said, here you know, John, evil one, the devil's got the victory. The devil has won the battle in your life, John. Old John knew that his life was just, he knew he'd done finished his course. That day he got news back that Jesus was healing people and their eyes were open and everything. He from right then on, he knew his mission was finished. And old John was able to look up at him that day when it seemed like the devil had won. And John looked at him right there and he said, boys, cut her off about right there. I'll have a new one before my toes quit wiggling. He knew where he's going. Now this morning, brother, nearly 2,000 years later, old John the Baptist up yonder screaming and shouting around the throne of God, and old Herod and Herodias is down in the pits of hell screaming and weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. I want to say to you this morning, God's side wins in the end. We know by example. I want to ask you a question this morning. We could go on and on and on. Talk about Pharaoh, how God used him and defeated him. We could talk about Daniel being delivered out of the lion's den, how God won the battle. I believe I've said enough this morning to convince you. If you are on God's side, you're going to come out a winner. If you are on the devil's side, you're going to come out a loser. Now, everybody in this church this morning, you're on one of those two sides. You are in God's army, or you are in the devil's army. My prayer is this morning that if you are on the devil's side, that you'll forsake him, walk out of that camp, and come on over and get on our side. Be on the winning side. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, as the Lord search your heart, just a moment, we're going to be singing an invitational hymn. I wonder if there would be someone here while the piano begins to play softly. Would there be someone here that'd say, Brother Danny, I know that I'm on the devil's side. Deep down inside, I know I'm going to lose if I keep living my life like I'm living it. I'd like to get over on God's side. Pray for me. I wonder if you'd just slip up your hand. Take it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Just slip up your hand and say, I know I'm on the wrong side and I need to get on God's side. Pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? Take it right back down. God's speaking to your heart. You know what you ought to do. You know that if you keep going the way you're going, that you're going to come out a loser. If you keep living your life the way you're living it, you're going to come out on the short end. You follow the leader and he'll lead you to hell. You follow Jesus and he'll lead you to heaven. It's just that simple. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, you need to come to this altar. God's brought you here for a reason. There's nobody here by accident. You're all here for a purpose. Why don't you let God help you this morning? Come to this altar and get this thing settled. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that Thou wouldst move in this invitation. God, I pray the Holy Ghost help that one of those here this morning who's not sure, or Lord, that one it is sure, they're on the wrong side. Help them to get it settled today. Help them to walk out of that seat, make her way down here to this altar, make You Lord of their life. I pray You'd do it right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
All power. Nobody can have more power than He's got if He's got it all. And He does. He said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Not only that, but in Revelation 19:6, the Bible said the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know what omnipotent means, brother? All powerful. All powerful. You say, well, Brother Danny, has there ever been a time when just these two men head to head and these two leaders, I'd like to see Jesus and the devil just get into it, wouldn't you? Just have a good fight and we'd see who win because of their strength. I'm glad to report to you this morning, friend, there was a time like that. There was a time in our Lord's ministry, right after He began His ministry, that the Bible said that the Spirit led Him into the wilderness. And He was out yonder, way out away from family and friends and loved ones, way out there in the desert. And He went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. You can imagine how hungry and how weak your body would be. How weak you would be not eating a bite for 40 days, not drinking any water for 40 days and 40 nights. And after the 40 days and 40 nights, here come the devil. This was a time in history that these two leaders met head to head. They met, brother, in the ring. Nobody else around but them. Everybody backed off. The angels, the demons, everybody backed off to watch this great conflict. This was a time that Satan, the leader of his kingdom, and Jesus, the leader of his kingdom, met eyeball to eyeball. Brother, they went out there and brother, somebody rung the bell. Ding! And they came out. Here come the devil up. And the first thing he said to the Lord was, he knew he was hungry. And the first thing he said to the Lord was, if Thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. And Jesus was weak. And His body was weak. He had a human body just like mine and yours. He was hungry, but he reached back and pulled out his sword. The two kings are beginning to fight now. He reached out and pulled out his sword, and he reared it back like this, and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Ah! Right in the devil's gut. Amen. The devil worked around over here, and he moved around a few minutes, and he got his strength back up, and he started coming at him again. Now, I want to say something right here. The devil told Jesus to make those stones into bread. Now, as far as the Bible's concerned, there wouldn't have been a thing in the world wrong if Jesus wanted to turn them stones into bread and made him an apple pie or whatever he'd have wanted to make. But you know why he didn't do it? Because the devil told him to. You see, it's wrong to do something good if it's the devil telling you to do it. Amen. And brother, the devil said do it, and because of that, Jesus wouldn't do it. He come back at him again. He said, I'll get you this time. And he come back at him again and he said,
Now, he used that scripture on me, and boy, that hurt. I'm going to use it on him. And he tried to pull out the sword and use it a little bit. And he took his sword and he said, "If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down off this mountain. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And they'll catch you so you won't dash your brains out down there on them rocks. If you're the Son of God, let's see you jump off of this cliff. Come on, big boy." And the Lord was weak. And the Lord was tired. But he pulled out that sword again. And he pulled it out and he reared back with it. And he said, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Bam! Right in the gut again. And the devil really about bent over double. And he came back at him a few minutes later with one last try to try to defeat. This is the two leaders of the kingdom fighting. And brother, the Bible said that he came to him and he said, "All the kingdoms of this world I'll give you if you'll just bow down and worship me." And brother, Jesus reached back and he pulled that old sword back one more time. He got him a big breath and he said that it is written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve." Ram! Right in the gut. And brother, you know what the devil done then? He tucked his tail between his legs and went running off into the desert, squalling like a little puppy. Oh, just like that. And brother, he run him off. The Bible said, "Then the devil leaveth him." And the Lord's standing there with old blood on his sword. Or the devil had took off. I know who's going to win this fight. He done whipped him. He knocked him out in the third round, brother. I mean, the devil had knocked out every other man that had ever been in the ring with him. He put a woman in front of David, and David committed adultery, and the devil knocked him out. He put Samson's head in the lap of a woman, and she cut his hair off and lost his strength, and he knocked Samson out. Strong men. I tell you this day, brother, he got in the ring with one and knocked him out.
Amen.
Just three punches. Bam, bam, bam. He's gone. Brother, we know who's going to win this war because of strength. Not only that this morning, another way we know who's going to win this conflict, we know who's going to win by example, by the way things happen, by reading God's Word and seeing examples of this conflict. In the, you know, like old Dagon here, for example. Dagon fell before his face for the ark of the Lord. That is an example showing you that the devil's kingdom will someday fall before God's kingdom. Sometimes when it seems like the devil is won, God steps in and gives the victory. You see, most people's problem is they look at the battle and they just say, "My soul, from the way things look, it ain't looking too good for God's people." There's been people through the ages stand up and say, in 100 years, 150 years, there won't even be no organized church. This thing will be extinct. And what they're doing, they're judging by what they see. But the thing you got to remember about God is sometimes He makes it look like the devil's got it just before He steps in and wins. It's just like your dog, you know. He wants to run out in the road and you got him on a leash. And you let him just run, as long as he wants to. He thinks, I'm going out in the road. And right when he gets rid of the road, you just jerk him back and hang him. Sometimes God lets the devil think he's going to win. But about the time he takes over, God will stop. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of science these days. They come out in Time, Look, and Life magazine. They say, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have a worldwide holocaust. It's going to, mankind will eventually destroy himself. Won't happen. It may look like that, and if God didn't intervene, no doubt that would happen. But we done know that God's going to intervene before that happens. The devil won't destroy the whole human race. There are going to be people living here when Jesus comes back and when Jesus sets up His kingdom. Brother, I'm here to say to you this morning, by example we know who's going to win. I like old Joseph. His brothers put Joseph in the pit. And I mean, it looked like Joseph's normal days of life were over. Joseph's laying down there saying, "I don't know what will ever become of me." And his hope was nearly gone that he'd ever lead a normal life. But God worked it out to where his brothers someday come down, they'll bow down to him, wanting corn, wanting something to eat. And the Lord won in the end. I remember one time we was going over here. I was going over to Swannanoa to preach at the juvenile center, and some of us boys were supposed to meet, and we was going to take guitars and everything. We was going to sing, and I was going to preach. And something happened that I got delayed before I left the house. We were supposed to meet a certain one up here at, I think, an Ingalls parking lot. We got up there and it was late, and we had to go here and hunt somebody. And it just seemed like everything in the world was happening to try to stop us. And I just got so tore up, I couldn't stand. I thought, oh, my goodness. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't preach. I can't preach in this shape. I was all worried and tore up, and we was running late. Didn't even know where the place was, and I had to find it. And it was already about a half an hour late. And the devil says, see, you ain't going, nothing ain't going to happen. You, what are you doing trying to go? Y'all just might as well stay at home. And they said, we ought to just even not even go. And I said, no, let's go. Let's go on. And so we went on over there, and we found the place. And the whole time the devil was telling me there ain't no way, there ain't no use. It can't work out. Can't work out. It's too late now. You don't even know where the place is. We finally got over there and we found the building. We come running in there that night. We had our guitars and Bibles. And we come running in the front door that's already sitting in there. The place was full. It wasn't as big as this church, but I guess maybe half as many people as there is in here. All young people, 15, 16, 17 years old, 12, 13, 14. And brother, we got in there and they're already singing. And it was already time for me to preach. And the guy, when we got up there, he said, you just go right ahead and turn it over to us. We got up there and we sung a few songs. I put a message. God's Spirit come down on that place. Brother, it got a hold of them kids, and they all started crying and bawling. And this coming out of all just a bawling, just uncontrollable, weeping. And I don't know how many, I guess 50, nearly got saved or rededicated their life that night. And we just had a time, brother. I mean, glory came down. It was wonderful. And finally, they start saying, kids, we're 45 minutes past time. They're supposed to have been out by 9 o'clock. And we had done come in and got the victory, and we had gone to Hardee's or somewhere before we really knew what happened. Because what really happened was, they don't allow in the juvenile center, it's against the rules for you to give a standing formal invitation. They don't allow it. And they said they never allow a preacher to do that. And if we'd have got there on time, they'd have set me down over and told me all of that. And I'd have just preached them a nice little sermonette and we'd have left. But God delayed us and made it look like the devil was getting a victory. And brother, we didn't realize it, but what seemed like the devil a winning was nothing more than God just working it out.
Amen.
And I done went in there and give an invitation, and they'd all got saved, and we was out shouting the victory, and come to find out, we wasn't even supposed to done none of that. And I noticed those counselors just looked like it was about to blow up. Brother, the Lord, that shows what God can do. I mean, we went on our way rejoicing that God was able to win in the end. Some days when it seemed like you're going to have a terrible day and nothing goes wrong all day long. You get up with a headache, washing machine hose bust, water runs out all over the floor, kid comes home and gets hurt, out, and it seemed like nothing goes wrong all day long. You know what the devil will say to you? This day's ruined. Don't go to church tonight. That's the worst mistake you could possibly make. Because
right.
It's on those days like that. If you'll go ahead and come to church, God will bless you. And a lot of times it'll turn out to be the greatest time you've ever had at church. When it seemed like the devil's won. When it seemed like the battle is his. When it seemed like there ain't no way God could come through. That's when he always does. That's showing his power. Like Jesus on the cross. The devil thought he had him. The third day he rose from the dead. Like old John the Baptist. Brother, I remember reading about old John, don't you? You know what the Bible said about John the Baptist? The Bible said that they took him in there, and this old wicked queen, old adulterous, ungodly woman that was living in sin with her brother-in-law, the king. She said, I want to tell you something. That guy gets on my nerves. I can't stand that preacher. He told me I was living in adultery. And he said, what do you want me to do about it? She said, we'll get him. And one day Herod's birthday come and her little wicked daughter come in and danced in front of Herod. Say, is it wrong to bank? Well, there's one preacher that it caused to lose his head. That should answer your question. She come in and put on a little wicked dance in front of the king. He lusted after that young girl and said, anything you want, I'll give it to you. That's blind. His lust blinded him, he said. And brother, she said, Mama, what do you want me to ask? Mama, what do you want me to ask? And her mama, who wasn't fit to give nobody no advice, said, kid, you go tell him that I want John the Baptist's head on a charger, on a platter. So she went back and she said, I want preacher John the Baptist's head on a platter. And the king was sorry, but nevertheless, for his oath's sake and them that sat around him, he said, all right. And he sent a servant to go get his head, and John was down there in prison. Boy, does that ever seem like the devil's won the battle. Brother old John was down there. It seemed like all was lost for him. And he come down there and he said, John, I'm going to take your head off today and give it to the king in a platter. He said, I know it. And he said, lay it down right there. And they said, here you know, John, evil won. The devil's got the victory. The devil has won the battle in your life, John. But old John knew that this life was just, he knew he'd done finished his course. That day he got news back that Jesus was healing people and their eyes were open and everything. He from right then on, he knew his mission was finished. And old John was able to look up at him that day when it seemed like the devil had won. And John looked at him right there and he said, boys, cut her off about right there. I'll have a new one before my toes quit wiggling. He knew where he's going. Now this morning, brother, nearly 2,000 years later, old John the Baptist up yonder screaming and shouting around the throne of God, and old Herod and Herodias is down in the pits of hell screaming and weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. I want to say to you this morning, God's side wins in the end. We know by example. I want to ask you a question this morning. We could go on and on and on. Talk about Pharaoh. How God used him and defeated him. We could talk about Daniel being delivered out of the lion's den, how God won the battle. I believe I've said enough this morning to convince you. If you are on God's side, you're going to come out a winner. If you are on the devil's side, you're going to come out a loser. Now everybody in this church this morning, you're on one of those two sides. You are in God's army, or you are in the devil's army. My prayer is this morning that if you are on the devil's side, that you'll forsake him, walk out of that camp, and come on over and get on our side. Be on the winning side. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, as the Lord search your heart, just a moment, we're going to be singing an invitational hymn. I wonder if there'd be someone here while the piano begins to play softly. Would there be someone here that'd say, Brother Danny, I know that I'm on the devil's side. Deep down inside, I know I'm going to lose if I keep living my life like I'm living it. I'd like to get over on God's side. Pray for me. I wonder if you'd just slip up your hand. Take it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Just slip up your hand and say, I know I'm on the wrong side and I need to get on God's side. Pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? Take it right back down. God's speaking to your heart. You know what you ought to do. You know that if you keep going the way you're going, that you're going to come out a loser. If you keep living your life the way you're living it, you're going to come out on the short end. You follow the leader and he'll lead you to hell. You follow Jesus and he'll lead you to heaven. It's just that simple. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, You need to come to this altar. God's brought you here for a reason. There's nobody here by accident. You're all here for a purpose. Why don't you let God help you this morning? Come to this altar and get this thing settled. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that Thou wouldst move in this invitation. God, I pray the Holy Ghost help that one of those here this morning who's not sure, or Lord, that when it is sure, they're on the wrong side. Help them to get it settled today. Help them to walk out of that seat, make her way down here to this altar, make You Lord of their life. I pray You'd do it right now. In Jesus' name, amen.